So I invite you to unmute yourselves. Lord is risen.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
And now I invite you to mute yourselves. So let's join together to pray. Let's pray. Today is the first day of a new creation. The light has dawned and we are dancing. Creator God, you spoke and the chaos vanished. Your word banished darkness and ordered life. The world was new and made beautiful. Human face of the eternal God, the word made one with us. You came into our poverty, living a human life, learning from those around you all that you already knew. You accepted death as a way of resurrection to new life. Spirit of God, one with the Creator and the Word, you roam the earth, challenging us to daily resurrection, overcoming doom and gloom with hope and promise. You live within us, turning every day into an Easter day. Every single day of our lives is the first day of a new creation, recreating God, remake us, and enable us to remake the world. Today is the first day of a new creation. The light has dawned and we are dancing. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Getting full sight. Sound effects this morning, aren't you? So the resurrection stories in the Gospels are slightly different, very different from Mark to John. But I think John's Gospel account is for many the classic one, and it is the story about what happened while it was still dark. And Catherine will read this to us.
The empty tomb. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they have put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen cloths, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen cloths, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciple went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels there dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it that you are looking for?" She thought he was the gardener, so she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," this means teacher, "do not hold on to me." Jesus told her, "Because I have not yet gone back up to my Father, but to my brothers. Go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her.
Happy Easter to you. My name is Leslie Charlton. I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. Thank you for joining with us on this, for us Christian people, holy and special day. We would love to get to know you more. We'd love to have contact with you if we can. Get in touch. The text that I'm preaching from today is John 20, verses 1 to 18. I sent a text this week to a pal that said, personally, I'm free from death since the first time since this whole thing started. It's not because so many have died, it's because funerals take such a long time in the south of England. People have seen so many tombs and countless deaths and not even had proper tombs since the outbreak of COVID-19. There's been so much grieving and weeping over innumerable losses. Equally, there's been a sense that this time has stunted sadness because the normal things, the normal markers of loss, we haven't been able to do. And so there are people I know who are concerned that tears have not been shed. The pandemic brutally took away many people's loved ones. We hear, and we need to hear afresh, the message of John's Gospel for our times. He writes about and for the reality of us death-bound subjects in his time and so for ours. The word tomb appears frequently in the Gospel according to John. Among all the Gospels, it appears particularly in this chapter. Also, the form of the verb die, present in John's Gospel more than the total appearances in all the synoptics, the other three Gospels. This Resurrection Sunday, we visit the tomb of Jesus when it is still dark. Just like Mary Magdalene, who goes when it is still dark. It's still dark when it happened. It doesn't happen in the light. It happened in the dark. He is shown in the light, but raised in the dark. We don't need the light to see or to know. He is revealed in the dark. We might find the dark overwhelming. The sadness is too much. but he rises while it is still dark. In our darkness, he is with us. In our isolation and sadness, he is alongside. And the darkness is not a sign that we are separate or remote from God. God has the power over the dark as well as the light. It's an interesting thing that the Holocaust, in all its terribleness, provides a rich diet of important spiritual material. Some would say that the most important book ever written, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, comes from this time. We await the pouring of reflections that people will have. I don't mean the poetry that is a bit thin. We want the heart-rending stories that are raw and are real. God is with us in this dark time. That doesn't mean that there is not darkness. Rainbows and unicorns are for children. We don't want a message that denies the reality of our experience of death. Mary goes to the tomb and sees that the stone has been removed. The message she delivers to Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved is about the missing body. John's resurrection story is not triumphant, but instead leads us to look at the reality of death. And there we unexpectedly but intimately encounter the risen Jesus. John painstakingly describes how Jesus' disciples, male and female, cope with his death and his absence and come to believe in his resurrection. Another word that John uses more often is the word that's translated as see or how or understand. Mary Magdalene went to Peter and the other disciples saying, "We do not know where they have laid him." And the two disciples appear to compete as to who is going to get to the tomb first, to go inside the tomb one by one and see nothing but the strips of linen and the cloth that was wrapped round Jesus' head. And after seeing the empty tomb, fear possesses them. So they go and they lock themselves in a house until the evening of the day. What on earth just happened? What does it mean? Mary remains outside the tomb and weeps. Only at that time does she look inside herself and sees two angels sitting where the body of Jesus was lying. The word here for body is used to illustrate the dead body of Jesus in John 19 and 20. And when the angels ask, "Woman, why are you weeping?" her answer is the same as she spoke to Peter and the beloved disciple. "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Then Jesus appears to her, but again, she doesn't know that it's him. This time Jesus asks, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" The last time those words were used, "Whom are you looking for?" it was said to armed soldiers who had come to get him in the garden. Then the answer was about betrayal and denial. Here the question of the risen Jesus that he asks to Mary is affectionate. She desires to take away the dead body of somebody that she loves. For John, the flesh of Jesus is important. Remember, he's the one who said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us," John 1:14. There's the business of the Last Supper, giving his flesh as life for the world through bread. Resurrected, he still has the marks of death upon him. he still has a sign of the darkness. He is the one who knows the full force of human death, and he is the one who has already wept with Mary at Bethany at the death of her brother. And now he sees Mary weeping and calls her by name. And in that moment, she recognises that he is her teacher and her friend. And Mary wants to touch him. She's been searching for his flesh. She went to lay out the body, that was her purpose. But when she goes to touch him now, he says no. It's clear that somehow, in some way, the process of going from death to life has changed him. He still has his scars, like we have ours. Yes, we believe. We might not understand and know how it all works, but God has the power over death. And that's not an outlandish thing to believe if you believe in God. As to how it works, that question is way beyond my pay grade. We're in the world of mystery. But the certainty is that God is at work in the dark. The God who is at work through flesh is the God who is working through ordinary people like us. While it was still dark, like now, we declare that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. In our darkest of days, we still see a glimpse of the light. We know that we don't see Jesus standing in our midst. We know that it's not ours to see Jesus with us every day. But on this Resurrection Sunday, it's okay that we still mourn. And still, in the middle of that, know the risen Christ standing there, showing that death is not the final word, but that God's love embraces the living and the dead. And the intimate presence of God in the wounded Christ, he is our comfort. Amen.
Let us pray. So let us pray for those that we know who are in the dark. Those who are in the dark of addiction. The dark of ignorance, those who are in the dark of their fear. To pray for those who work for the light, those who all over the world are feeding the hungry, working for justice, building relationships with their neighbors, those who are working for light, supplying the vaccine, confronting ignorance, be with us that we would be among those who work for the light. And strengthen us when we feel the dark overwhelms us. And we pray in your name. Amen. So should we move to our Holy Communion? It was in the dark that the Lord Jesus gathered with his disciples. And it was in the dark of betrayal and denial that he ate the meal with his disciples. And he took bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he took the cup and said, "This is my blood that is shed for you." And it was in the dark of the gathering, and we are the disciples of Jesus today, and we gather, but we are moving into the light. So let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your gifts of bread and wine. We give you thanks for bread provided for your people in the wilderness, for bread blessed and shared with friends, for bread broken as the body on the cross. We give you thanks for wine poured out as a cup of salvation, for wine sparkling in celebration of a feast, for wine spilt in betrayal and death, for wine as a marker of celebration and joy. We give you thanks for bread and wine remembered at a festival, celebrated in story, proclaiming the mystery of your death and resurrection. And as we share this bread and wine, may your spirit make your presence live again in us. May we remember, celebrate, and proclaim your death and your life until your love comes again in risen newness of life. Be present with us through our companionship with one another and through bread and wine, Lord, we pray. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, and broke it. Poured out and shared among them. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. Astonishing God, the day has come when we thought had ended bursts into a new beginning. When we thought had been destroyed is created anew. When we thought had been lost in darkness re-emerges in vibrant colour. We gather in thanksgiving for your everlasting love and justice, for Christ's healing, wholeness and forgiveness, living deep within each of us by the power of the Spirit. Challenging God, may our thanksgiving be shown in our action as your Spirit calls us to be church in the world. Showing your love in our relationships and doing what is right for all creation. And we pray in the name of the one who was crucified and died and who is mysteriously with us now in life ever new. Thanks be to God. Known for us in Jesus. Amen. So can I invite you to unmute yourselves and we'll say the grace together. And then one of us can go inside and get warm. Yeah, go and have a hot something and breakfast from 9 and then communion at 10:30 and in the building at 5. So let's say the grace together.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Be with us all. Amen. Amen.